Welcome to Reality TV, the podcast where we cringe watch all the shows we love and love to hate. I'm Jody, and I'll be your inner voice as I break down all the shows we watched together this week. No shame, no regret, just wanting all the reality we can get. Remember to check the show notes for how to find me and the rest of our chosen people. Facebook and Instagram, Welcome to Reality TV, and Twitter at Reality TV Pod. And for bonus episodes, head on over to patreon.com/welcometorealityTV. And now, on with the show. Welcome back. Happy New Year, Claremont Apples. So much has happened in the past week or two. I've gained my usual holiday layer fluff thanks to endless wine and cheese and trips to my pantry and candy that Santa left in my kids' stockings that they don't like but happens to be my favorite. It's so weird how it happens every year. And it's the same thing with the Easter Bunny. I just don't get it. Those crazy little holiday fellas always mixing things up. But I am back to start off the new year with an incredible January of new shows. I've posted an apple picking schedule in the Facebook group. It's pinned right up at the top with pretty much all the reality TV shows that are on this month, along with the shows that I will be recapping. Those are the ones that are highlighted in color. Once again, it's going to be Sister Wives and Seeking Sister Wife, both on Sunday night on TLC. We'll finish up Teen Mom OG on MTV and Unexpected in this episode, and Married at First Sight on Tuesday nights on Lifetime, and Love After Lockup on WeTV on Friday nights. I know that's a tough one, Friday nights. Got Dateline going, all that good stuff, but I gotta think if it's on WeTV, it's gonna be replaying, right? Okay, we'll figure it out. And of course, I'm always on Twitter and Facebook, live threads as much as I can, or live tweeting with all of you, furiously verbal vomiting all of our thoughts, like my fear of everything on A&E's 60 Days In. The new season just started yesterday. If you are not watching this show, you are missing out. It's on A&E 60 Days In. We're on season 4. It's on Thursday nights. They just had an early premiere last night on January 1st, but it's going to be on Thursday nights. This Thursday, the 4th, it's on at 8 p.m. Central, but it'll normally be Thursday nights at 9 p.m. I probably won't be recapping those because when I'm watching the show, I need to cover my eyes and ears about, 72% of the time. But the show is incredible, and you do not need to have watched the previous seasons in order to jump right in. So I highly encourage you, especially if you like reality shows and your spouse doesn't, it's a really good mix-up, mash-up that you two can watch together. All right, enough about that. Let's pop in and see what happened on last night's Unexpected tell-all. Jenna Wolfe is our hostess, and man, she's a huge improvement from Sean Robinson, who is the host for the 90 Day Fiancé tell-alls. I like Sean as a person, and clearly she is stunningly beautiful. But Jenna is more relaxed, laid back, but she asks more in-depth questions, which I liked. I also really enjoyed Jenna's bar necklace. I don't know if that's a dying trend. Am I way past it? You got to remember I'm in the armpit of America. So by the time the bar necklace knockoff trends get to me, and it's also made its way to the back of the Target clearance aisle, sometimes it's out of fashion. So let me know, because I'm kind of digging it, but I don't want to be that douchebag that shows up with something that is, you know, way out of style. All right, anyway, we meet back up with Lexis, who is now 16 at this point. Lily and Michaela are 17, and it's their first time meeting. And it's also the first time I'm noticing that Lexis needs a little orthodontia care. You know, that's my thing. See something, say something, right? However, I just basically took a second mortgage out on my house to start this whole orthodontic braces thing with my own kid, so I get it. Sometimes your kids' villager teeth have to take a back seat, so you can make sure that you're getting that casserole on the table every night. Lexis and Kelsey have chosen to come as twinsies to the tell-all. I think they are both very pretty. They have very cute faces, but I was not enjoying their hair. It was very Chelsea from Teen Mom 2, too dark, too dry. They need a really good deep conditioning treatment and a cut. And I love a cat eye, but I was hoping one of the makeup artists on set would have taught Lexis how to do a proper one that was not so heavy and horizontal. I think it just ages her, and she needs more of a YM magazine fresh face look. Do they even still have YM magazine? All right, well, if you're too young for this, it was kind of like the 17 of the day. Do they even still have 17? Oh my God, I'm aging myself. All right, well, speaking of aging, Grandma Cindy was also there with Michaela, who looked great. Michaela has a peaches and cream complexion, and she was rocking that bold lip. The only thing I didn't like was her choice of outfit because it just seemed too mature for her. I'm not saying she needs to be in a Laura Ashley sundress like Luann was at Sonia's garden party, but maybe just lighten it up a little bit. My girl Kim was also there with Lily, who looks so pretty. Lily, she's got a beautiful face, you guys. Her makeup was on point, and she has the most adorable little nose. I have a schnoz myself, so when I see a cute nose, all I can do is just dream one day I fall down and insurance will cover my reconstructive surgery. Now, I'm not going to lie, this tell-all was a massive snooze fest. Except for Shaden's video, this whole thing could have been cut down to a 30-minute special. The only thing we need to get to the bottom of is how in God's name do all of these girls have such amazing skin? They are smack dab in the throes of teenage hormones and pregnancy and post-pregnancy hormones. And there they are, all their tight little tummies and their little boobs and skin that has apparently never seen a painful underground zit where it takes your entire face hostage. You know which ones I'm talking about, right? The ones where someone just breezes past you and you practically fall to your knees like, oh, my zit. Oh, God, those are the worst. So let's get to it. The moms are all crying. Grandma Cindy, I'm grouping her in with moms, because they all feel like they have failed their teens. And then the girls start crying because they feel like they've failed their moms. And thank God we find out that Lily just takes all of Kim's parenting advice and just defaults to her to find out how to do stuff. Oh, my God. Saint Kim, the patron saint of strawberry festivals and turkey sandwich artistry. Jenna Wolfe rounds out this segment by quoting a song I played on the repeat song function of my 3-disc CD changer stereo in 1993 that I saved up for as I prepared for my legendary role as Sergeant of Police in my 8th grade musical, The Pirates of Penzance. I had a solo, you guys. And that would be the one and only It's a Beautiful Life by Ace of Base. She says something along the lines of, oh yeah, you know, all your babies were mistakes and everything, but it's a beautiful life. Oh, 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 it's a beautiful life. We got to see all the births again, and really no new info was shared except that Lily apparently threw her iPhone and broke it right before her water broke. Now we can understand why Kim was so pissed off in that scene. You just broke a phone that I paid for, and now you go and fuck up my carpet with your amniotic fluid? Oh, I would be like a Looney Tunes cartoon with like the steam and the fire coming out of my head. So I appreciated when Jenna asked the girls, why, if you didn't want to be pregnant, didn't you take any precautions? Again, this is what I mean. Like, she just really got to the tough questions here. They all just said, oh, you know, we were just banging it out so many times before that we didn't think it would happen. I was rolling over in my grave, and I'm not even dead yet, I think. I don't know. I've been having those weird dreams that I talked about in the Patreon episode. So anything's possible. But like any parent wants to hear their daughter saying she has had sex, period, let alone her experience level. Oh my God, I can't imagine. But on a serious note though, for real, what do we need to do to prevent pregnancy? I just think maybe we need to put out buckets of condoms and free birth control for all. Or maybe even, I really sat down and gave this thought, maybe when a girl first gets her period, we do like a happy first period kit. Because as long as you are traumatized and you're going to be embarrassed to tell your mom, your grandma, whoever you have to tell when you first get your period, we all remember it. It's horrible. So why don't we just throw in this whole talk about condoms and whatever the hell, birth control, and just kill two birds with one stone? I don't know. I'm taking note, and I am going to do this with my daughter because she's going to remember that moment anyway, right? So let's just have at it. All right, let's get to Lexis, who now has a 7-month-old Scarlet. We get a long recap of her whole season. Again, this is what I mean by it being a boring tell-all. It was a lot of the same replays. But then Jenna asks Lexis, how does it make you feel knowing Scarlet is in a multi-generational family of teen moms? And Lexis replies that it terrifies her for Scarlet. Okay, this was the first time I really yelled at the TV. It happens a lot, but for this one, it was the first. If it terrifies you so much, Lexis, then why wasn't she on birth control when she was still sleeping with Shaden? Remember that? What the hell, Lexis? Listen to yourself. So we learn that Shaden and Lexis broke up because her friends told her that he doesn't treat her well. Very typical teenage, you know, don't listen to your mom when she's saying it, or don't watch your actions on TV. Just take it from your friends, Nevaeh Lee and Parson Leeton, or whatever girls' names that teenage girls have these days. Yeah, listen to them on what you should do with your life. I think we can all agree that those girls are just wanting to be like the teen mom friend sidekicks, right? So Shaden can't be there because he violated probation and is in jail. Aw, what a good dad. Yeah, he's definitely the one who knows how to raise kids and sleep train. Maybe his prison daddy taught him all he knows. Or maybe his actual daddy is, because his dad is all over Twitter. And he's just as you would expect Shaden's dad to be. Let his tweets just speak for themselves. My favorite was his latest, in which he said, oh, he's talking about how they don't get to see, what's her name, Scarlet that often. And then he says, oh, it's all good. Spelled S-A-W-L. Saul good. Eesh. Now, I did try to do some research to try to find out what Shaden was on probation for, what he was in for, all that kind of stuff. The only thing I was able to find, and this took extensive digging because I had to figure out what town it was and then what county it was, which it was White County, Indiana, because I believe they're in Monticello. And it just said that he is no longer in custody. So I'm guessing maybe he's out at this point, or maybe he's in a different county and I have all the wrong information. I guess it doesn't really matter because hopefully he is not in our life anytime after this tell-all. But for the sake of this recap, we got to sit down with Shaden, who is on a Skype interview with a producer earlier. And Lexis and Kelsey didn't know that he had done this, so they were all ears just like all of us were. And Shaden goes on this rant, which made me want to wring this kid's zitty neck. He doesn't want to raise Scarlett the way that Kelsey wants to raise her because, you know, Kelsey didn't even do a good job the first time around with Lexus. And Kelsey didn't do everything that she could have done to prevent Lexus to get pregnant. And he's going to make sure that he enforces things to make sure that that doesn't happen to Scarlett. Oh, okay, asshole. You mean like enforcing you not being there at Kelsey's house to spend the night? Or enforcing you to wear a condom? He and his dad, the one who's tweeting, think that it's Kelsey's fault that Lexus got pregnant because Shaden knocked her up at Kelsey's house under her roof. Yeah, follow that logic. Sure, Jan, good argument. It's so stupid, it's not even worth my breath. So although Lexus is broken up with Shaden, she tells Jenna that she doesn't know the next chapter, you know, what it's going to hold for she and Shaden. And I just have to think that that means somewhere deep down in her heart, she thinks that they're going to get back together. God, I hope he never sweet talks her back into it. Kelsey, you got to put your foot down, girl. All right, Michaela. Tiny Tim was there, but Shannon was too. Womp, womp. Cue the recap of her season, and Grandma Cindy continues to enable Shannon by saying that Shannon's trying to do better and trying to make amends. Shannon feels like she's entitled to that because she's done better and she's getting her life together. That pissed me off. Okay, guess what? No one is entitled to someone's forgiveness. Okay, let me repeat that because I think I might have just stumbled on some big like Pinteresty quote. No one is entitled to receive someone's forgiveness, especially Shannon. So producers asked Shannon and Michaela how their babies will be related, and you think they were in an ACT prep course because it took Shannon a little too long to figure it out. It's not like it's a Kardashian, Jenner, Foster, Hadid flowchart, okay? Now, what was most shocking to learn was that Shannon had been trying to get pregnant for a long time. What? I am the first person to be empathetic towards those with fertility struggles, but to a woman with a hair trigger temper and two kids that she continues to only support when and if she wants, that at least deserves a side eye. I'm entitled to that. So Michaela describes her relationship with Shannon as unique and different-ish. She says that she forgives Shannon for everything, for getting into drugs, for not putting herself and her brother Dylan first, but everyone has problems. She was just on drugs. Well, that's sweet and all, but I just don't think Michaela is old enough or mature enough to realize the impact that all of that has on her psychologically and how that impacts her relationships and how she treats people. What does Shannon say about this? It means a lot to me that my kids love me. Another me, me, me statement. You think a mom would say something like, it means a lot to me to be able to love and cherish my kids in a way I didn't or couldn't before, not what she is getting out of it. Well, thank God for Jenna again, because she actually asked some tough questions here. She put Shannon on the hot seat and asked her why she said she was jealous of Michaela. And Shannon wasn't even embarrassed by this as most people would have been. She feels like everyone should have been there for her more since she had tried to get pregnant for so long. Sorry, not sorry. Fuck off with that. This is not your first kid. And what do you need people around for when you're pregnant? I had my kids 13 months apart, and I had my mom babysit two times during that pregnancy for doctor's appointments, one where I had to go to the hospital. Do people really have just this on-call team of people who need to be there for them just because you're pregnant. It's like this Megan King Edmonds pregnancy, or like bridezillas who think that no one else has done this before. Ugh, drives me crazy. So now we get to the Shannon versus Shelly showdown. No surprise, I had my giant foam finger with Shelly on it, and Cindy was wearing an identical red version of her yellow shirt in the couch interviews this season, and there's no shame to that, Cindy. That's how I shop too. I like a let's load up on those $7 Old Navy t-shirts and tank tops and call it a summer wardrobe. Well, Kaylin is there with Shelly. They're on opposing couches. And for the sake of time and frustration, it's all the same BS back and forth between Shelly and Shannon, most of it out of Shannon's mouth, how Shelly's just a bitch and poor Shannon, people are just mean to her for absolutely no reason. Yeah, no reason at all. Not because you're on camera talking shit, whispering stuff under your breath, just a perpetual victim. I can't stand those people. And then the whole, oh, poor me, I was 38 weeks pregnant at the park. Who cares? Welcome to how reproduction of the human race works. You're not a saint for sitting on a park bench, all right? Now, it is BS that even though they broke up and they're back together, Michaela won't let Kaylin's family see baby Timmy as much as her family. I think that's very manipulative, and I have to think that Shannon is just sitting over her shoulder and has a lot to do with that. She doesn't even know she's trying to make her mommy Shannon love her by doing what Shannon wants her to do, but I'm telling you, it's there. Someone get that girl some help. All right, enough of the fighting. We're all over it. And then Kaylin says, the last 4 years, she's been the only woman I've wanted to be with for the rest of my life. God damn it, Kaylin. I need my husband, who's 20 years older than him, to take notes and watch this shit. Kaylin could have a future in like a book for men, quotes for husbands or some shit. I don't know. Look into it. Ride this 15 minutes. Now, there were some cheating allegations, but Kaylin says, I love that girl way too much to do that to her. No. I mean, Jenna and I twinsied out and both screamed, Michaela, that's so sweet. And then she just goes, I hear it all the time. Okay, I can officially say I'm jealous. Most of the time, Michaela is the one breaking up with Kaylin. So, guys, what are your thoughts on this? Because I think that Kaylin might get tired of this back and forth stuff with her. That gets exhausting. And I'm hoping and praying that for the sake of Kaylin's little possible broken heart, that Michaela just knocks that stuff off and realizes that it's really just an immature, manipulative move. Kaylin, just keep a clear head. You got a good head on your shoulders. And Shelly, be proud of your son. All right, let's go on to Lily. I don't know if her segment was just really boring or if I was just bored altogether at this point, because I only had about four things to say about Lily. Aaliyah has her grandma's smile and she's super cute. She's got chubby cheeks that I want to chew on. And James has moved into an apartment downstairs. Again, Kim is an incredible person and mother for allowing that. Darlene is there with her son James, and she started crying when she saw the clip of James saying that he's going to take care of his own little family now. I can see that being touching, a mom hearing her son say that. And Kim was super sweet when she said, James is a good boy. I would be happy if he were my son. God damn it, Kimmy. I love you. So these two are still together, and I think they're both equally naive and immature. So maybe that's why it works for them. All of their parents think that they need to wait a good 15 to 20 years before they get married. But it concerns me and everyone, including James, that Lily keeps talking about having more kids. Kim or any of you in the New York area, get that girl on birth control or lay down and hide somewhere until she falls down, get an IUD in her, a latex jumpsuit, just something quickly, please. Now, at the end, all the babies come out and they have a Teen Mom style baby parade. Michaela and Lexis think it's really cute to joke about their babies getting married and having babies. Like, please, this is not the time or place to joke about that. For real, knock it off. And then Jenna asked them if they're all going to keep in touch, and all three practically jumped up in unison, saying something just shy of an official pitch for a TLC Teen Mom series. And although I love this show, I think I'm good leaving them as is. I think any more fame and money is going to mess these teens and these kids up. Michaela already has her YouTube channel, and I hesitate to even check in on that because I don't want to encourage this airing of their infants' lives. It's probably just a good place to leave them for now. It's probably also a good place to transition to some Teen Mom OG after the jump. All right, Teen Mom OG. Anyone know how many more weeks we have? Because I think this is episode 6 or 7, if you count that stupid New Year's episode. What the hell was that? It was horrible. But anyway, it feels like we've had more episodes, right? So let's start with Macy. Hey, guess what? Macy's talking to her friends about Ryan again. The only difference now is that she's allowed us into her bedroom, where either she has one of those gigantic Montana king beds, or she's even more tiny than I thought. And she has a Teen Mom throw pillow. So I think that might be all the birth control one might need when you're climbing into bed at night. Very clever, Macy. Someone else, start that trend right now. You may become a millionaire. Taylor is getting a haircut by his sidekick. Again, I feel like I've seen the same scene at least 3 times before. His hair looked fine. It's not my style, but the freaking pube beard. Gross. I've said it before. I actually like facial hair on men. And actually, fun fact, I've only seen Dave without facial hair once, and it was when he accidentally went too low with the clipper guard. And when I turned around to see him, I was at the stove. I turned around, threw my spatula at him. It freaked me out so bad. And I just screamed that I didn't like his face anymore. It's terrifying. I'm never letting him go barefaced again. So I'm saying that, Taylor, you don't need to cut it all off, but you have got to trim that thing down. It's scraggly and curly and puby and ugh, gross. Well, it's Macy's birthday and he wants to take her skydiving. You know what I get for my birthday? Yeah, not skydiving. I get my own little bowl of salsa at the Mexican restaurant. There's no sharing. You guys can all get your own. I'm telling you, keep your standards low and you will live a happy life. Speaking of low standards, Ryan's feet stink really bad. He and Mackenzie are getting ready for engagement photos, and the producer there asks what all of us are asking. Why are you getting engagement photos if you're already married? Well, Ryan answers, we're having this because we haven't had our wedding yet, pretty much. Pretty much. It was filmed and photographed for the world, so is this just because he doesn't remember it because he was high and almost killed people on the road driving there? Or is this because our precious little Mackenzie needs more airtime? The other important question was, what was sitting on the couch cushion behind Mackenzie? There was a toy train and either a cup of Wendy's chili or a Chick-fil-A mac and cheese or something. She doesn't have her son there, so was she spoon-feeding Ryan, the overgrown toddler that's paying for her braces with his Teen Mom paycheck? If you watched, you know I'm not far off, because in an instant, Ryan puts a toy car on his head like a mask. and says, definitely say I'm not excited about pictures. You guys, it was dark and it was deep. So Mackenzie asks him, will you just go get ready? And Ryan continues to play with this car. No answer. So Mackenzie starts looking around, like almost for help. No, girl, you got yourself into this. No pity for you. No one's going to help you out. So they have this little back and forth about how much money she has left from her shopping trip to the mall. Because, you know, she doesn't have a job. Her job's to babysit and burp Ryan every hour. So I'm sure he's just paying her as if she's a home health care aide. And then the fight continues down the hall into the back room where they're yelling at each other about how it's supposed to be a happy day. So pretty much like a married couple on every holiday. Fast forward and they're doing these cheesy photos on a dock and they're pretending to walk and talk, which is a lot to ask of these two idiots. Ryan tries to spin her at one point and it was no dirty dancing. Let's just leave it at that. Then a big bummer thing happened. Well, not really, I guess, because I saw Macy and Taylor having lunch and then telling Bentley about the skydiving, but then the damn MTV app cut out, and I cannot for the life of me. I have tried all day and night to stream this little segment of 3 or 4 minutes. Did anyone else have this issue, or am I just cursed in this little pocket where I'm at? I don't know. So I'm guessing I missed maybe the skydiving because the next thing it cut into was Farrah at the table. But I don't know. I guess it's a good thing because even Macy could make skydiving look boring. So let's just jump over to Farrah. Farrah's on the beach in LA in formal wear for some reason, and she's watching Sophia during a surfing lesson. Someone check to see if that instructor is psychologically okay. Any Claremont Apples in the LA area, just check on him, okay? Because Farrah is Farrah. She isn't making any eye contact with the producer who's standing right next to her. She's so fucking rude. And she isn't making any further contact with her own hairstylist because she's just wearing a bozo wig that's been straightened out at this point. You can see where it is. I don't know jack shit about extensions, but it's tied or laced or glued down because when the wind blows, you can see it. It's horrible. So producer Kristen just innocently asks her, oh, are you nervous at all to go to Omaha? And, you know, drama-free lifestyle guru Farrah snaps, Kristen, I don't look at my life upside down and shit all on it, okay? I'm going to have a good day today. Hashtag entrepreneur, hashtag love and light. Fast forward to a bedazzled romper wearing Deborah, who's also wearing my daughter's Target version American Girl doll hair that has fallen out and found its way into my vacuum on multiple occasions. It's just kind of a woven ball of synthetic hair. And it must have made its way from my landfill and blown west because Deborah's hair is unlike anything I have seen before. It is awful. She's out meandering in her side yard, and she calls Dr. David and says, it's less than 60 days before we get married, to which the love of her life, the man of her dreams, responds, well, I don't keep track of that, you know. Oh my God, you guys, this guy, I don't know why I didn't put two and two together till now, but he truly reminds me of a family member who we thought could have been the Unabomber. This is a true story. Like, we had family meetings about it. Back in LA, where the timeline tells me Farrah was promoting the backdoor key launch party at Crazy Horse 3, a Sin City gentleman's club. This is a fact. She and this Frenchie, also known as Angelique Morgan from Rock of Love 2, remember her? She was also on Charm School and Big Brother, I guess. I don't watch that one. Oh, and, you know, some adult films. Well, they were there for this launch party, and they were also photographed putting lotion on each other's asses at the pool. Hashtag mommy boss. So Frenchie welcomes Sophia at this restaurant, and It's like a horror movie standoff of who's scarier. Frenchie thinks Sophia might be afraid of her pink hair. Yeah, that's it. What concerns me is how everyone still treats Sophia like she's a baby or a toddler, like the talking about her as if she doesn't understand. No, she can speak. You can round her up to 10 right now, okay? She's a human person. And this is where we hear the big news. Sophia is homeschooling now, so she can go with Farrah everywhere she goes. They can go on family vacations whenever they want. Something tells me Farrah is not going to be keeping up on a very rigorous school schedule for Sophia. And I'm curious if, perhaps, Sophia may have had some social-emotional issues at school, one that Farrah is too blind or unwilling to address. So now our co-owners of Sophia Laurent Boutique are headed into Grandma's 80th birthday party. Cameras aren't allowed to film, so we just get a scowl from Sophia, who's grumbling, and a David better need not be at the party. Surely an attempt to earn her sweet mother Farrah's approval. And then we hear Farrah respond with a very sage and wise way to her daughter. We don't associate with weirdos. But Frenchie and Paula make the cut. Okay. Well, this party must have went pretty well because Farrah has now invited Deborah and Deborah's Kesha braids to dinner. Farrah tells Deborah that Sophia is now going to be a model. Let me say that again, a model, and walk in a fashion show. So Deborah baby talks to baby Goop.
Can I come see you in the fashion show, Sophia? Grandma really wants to see you.
And then we get to the clip that has been circling the interwebs all week. Sophia starts growling like a gremlin or a garbage pail kid, something scary, and she starts punching her fists and staring at Deborah. So Farrah just asks her,
are you angry? Do I need to go talk to you? You're not happy? This is upsetting.
Oh my God, we need to know what the hell happened at that Grandma Deborah sleepover. I have given some serious thought to this, and I think that she may have had one of those rebirth things that I've seen on 2020 a long time ago. It's where they wrap kids up in a blanket, and then they make them squirm out of it to simulate birth, and then they scream like Jesus things at them. I can see it being a very Deborah-esque thing to do. So out of Sophia's growling, they come back to the table and we hear her say,
I never want to see her again if she gets married to David.
Then Deborah apologizes for whatever it is that's happening. And Farrah says,
Grandma can stare at you and say sorry, but that's that.
But you know what stood out to me as the most frightening, stomach-churning, turning, whatever the hell at that table? Deborah is piling chips and salsa down her gullet, and she's washing it all down with a hot cup of coffee. That right there is the sign of a psychopath. All right, let's move on to Caitlin and Tyler. They are just one day away from seeing Carly for the first time in 2 years, which is also likely the last time that Caitlin bought a bra. Molly from 90 Day Fiancé, hook a girl up. I see what you did for Nicole. Give Caitlin a call. Dawn, the adoption counselor, who is regretting her career at this point, and Carly's brother's birth mom named Beth are coming over to discuss their plan for the reunion. Tyler is actually more worried about the goodbye because he knows he's not going to be able to predict the next time that they see each other. Caitlin is stressed about it in a whole different way. She's just kind of in a bitter place. She says that she tries to put herself in Brandon and Teresa's shoes, but she doesn't feel like they reciprocate and try to put themselves in her shoes. She also reached out to them about going to the beach one of these days, but they declined. This is just so hard because I really do see both sides. I would say that it was probably smart for Brandon and Teresa to decline on that second play date before they even had the first one, because they probably just wanted to feel out that first meeting. Well, all of a sudden, we see Tyler and Kate waking Nova up. And then I realized, oh my God, Caitlin's wearing the same outfit as yesterday. And she looks like she hasn't showered or washed her armpits in a week. Come on, Caitlin, pull yourself together for this meeting. So they go and pick up Dawn, and they squeeze Dawn's ass between, what's her name, Beth's two twins in the back seat. Again, Dawn is just going to put in her pink slip or retire as soon as she gets back to the office on Monday, right? So Cambush can't film, so we get the photo montage with music. And then I was confused because Caitlin was wearing a different shirt in the photos. The same shirt that she was supposedly wearing after they met. So some continuity shit is going on, and it distracted me enough that at least I didn't cry during the montage. But the next morning, Tyler is telling Kirthy that Caitlin had a really rough night. But they're always going to have that. They're always going to have the what ifs, and at least they are together. They have the two of them. But Caitlin thinks Carly misses she and Tyler. And she overheard Carly asking Brandon and Teresa if she could ride with Caitlin and Tyler, and Teresa said no. I can see where that would be completely hurtful, but I admittedly am kind of a freak about who my kids ride in cars with, so I get it. I was really leaning towards Brandon and Teresa's side with them setting boundaries until Kate and Tyler said something, and it kind of caught me off guard. And it was about Nova and Carly being sisters but not being raised together. And then it hit me, you know what? I'm not saying that they need to have multiple visits a year or that they need to be one big family. But I do think that when Carly and Nova are older, they are going to want to have a relationship and maybe wish that they had had one when they were younger. And denying that relationship on its own, I mean, take Caitlin and Tyler out of it. That is something pretty big. I know Carly has a brother, but maybe just like one or two Skype calls a year, or the girls send pictures or something to each other. I don't know. I have to wonder, maybe Brandon and Teresa would be open to that, but maybe giving Caitlin and Tyler an inch causes them to jump a mile. I don't know. It's just hard. So let's move on to the hardest one for me to watch this week, and that was Amber. Oh, she has had good seasons and bad, and I thought this was going to be a good one for her, but it's, oh man, not looking good. I never thought ever I would be on Gary's side, but it's happening. Send help. A strong and sassy man producer is girl talking it up with Amber on the couch, and it's so obvious that Amber has been boning this Andrew guy already. She says she's been talking to him for a little bit. Right. She says that he ran the lights or something, and he reached out to her on social media after all this family boot camp stuff was over. Despite her coming off a long-term, pretty heavy-duty relationship approximately 4 minutes ago, Amber in her LuLaRoe heinous leggings are ready to just jump right in and try to fix those daddy issues that we all know she will never resolve. Back at Gary's house, Leah is using Gary's Kraft cheese cooler to hoist herself up. Let me say that again. Gary has a Kraft cheese cooler. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe. Gary sits down, or we find where Gary's parking his big head for the day, and he's reading from his Dear Dumb Diary because he's had enough. Apparently, he hasn't talked to Amber since forever. Christina's working towards her SAG card, and she walks in with her, "Oh, there you are. What are you talking about, Gary?" So let's just cut to the chase. Amber hasn't been around, hasn't called Leah, and she's almost $10,000 behind on child support. Amber, I was rooting for you. We are all rooting for you. Just as I would say with any guy, that's some bullshit. She has no job. She's loafing around doing her makeup and her nails. Call your kid, fight for your kid, pay for your kid. So Christina is starting to have issues because she knows as a stepmom, you kind of have boundaries you need to keep in mind. But when Amber isn't coming around, it makes it hard for her not to be that mom figure that Leah is asking for, that she needs, and really that she deserves, right? So Team Shirley decides to ask Amber about the visitation schedule, maybe to push Amber along into being more consistent with her seeing Leah. And here we are, the moment we finally get to see in person Andrew, aka the next Santa Claus in Santa Claus 4, the movie. And they're playing handsy, and it just, I get a visceral reaction. Stop it. You are both too old to be doing this, playing hands. She did it with Matt when they met, and it made me dry heave back then, and this time it was just as bad. Kiki, the cowgirl producer, asks him where he's from, and he says, Malibu, where the water is the same color as her eyes. Disgusting. That is something some creeper would say on a speed dating date at some dying bar. It's just gross. So what does he do for a job? You and me in America asks. Cinematography. Okay. Is this legit? Is he like really employed, or is this a freelance slash seasonal thing where he gets paid, but then he's broke for 10 and a half months of the year? He says that he would place himself around the house during this boot camp job and near the interview room so he could hear more and learn more about Amber. Holy shit, if you could see my eyes right now, that's scary. Amber is like charmed by this, but that sounds like stalking to me, and I would know because I'm really good at it. Thank God he has no kids, but that's solely due to how he's dressed. It's not because he's had to turn ladies down. He's got on a striped shirt from the early 2000s, red pants, again, red pants. I told you guys about the guy I had a severe crush on in college, right? Until the day that he walked into class wearing forest green colored jeans and I had to ghost him. I was like the original ghoster, all thanks to colored jeans. Okay, and okay, back to Andrew. So he's got the striped shirt, the red pants, and Argyle socks. And then he's got this messy, dirty looking gray, black hair. And I imagine he smells like a Blockbuster video with the attached Papa John's. You remember that? This wasn't just a local thing, right? Yeah, you know that smell. So what's the plan for Amber and rebound Andrew? Well, he missed his flight on purpose. And Kiki yells, classic. Yeah, it is classic that Amber would dive head first, 50 feet deep into a bad relationship. But Amber says that, you know, she was in a really bad depression and she needed this. She needed a distraction. And then Andrew goes, oh God, you know it's coming. I'll distract you. Oh God, it's so fucking gross. Just, she really has the worst taste in men. So fast forward, and Amber is finally in the mood to see Leah. So she calls up Gary and says, where's Boo Boo? I want to talk to Boo Boo. I need to see Boo Boo. Gary is annoyed, and I would be too, because she just wants everyone to drop everything for her just because she's finally in the mood to see her kid. That is so shitty of her. I hate people like this. How about call ahead? How about respect Christina's boundaries, seeing as it is her house, too, that you're just going to come and plop your ass in. Amber, I am turning on you quickly. And I think she does this stuff vocally when her new man is around because she thinks it'll come off as, oh, this suffering single mom who's trying to get her kid back. So this new guy just pities her and swoops right in to save her. And I don't like it. So while Amber's on the phone, there is this massive painting behind her. I know jack shit about art, so I don't know if it was good or bad, but I do know my hardwood floors, and hers are trashed. I'm guessing from her pets, but those are beyond repair and sanding, restaining, sealing, which means she probably lets her dogs and cats or whatever she has piss all over them because she's too lazy to let them out. Now, 30 minutes later, Andrew, in another one of his ugly striped pastel shirts, drops Amber off at Gary's, and as soon as she sits down, Gary just goes in. Oh, so a new man. That's why you haven't been around? Amber claims, no, that's not it. It's just because she's been depressed. And then she looks at Gary as she's kind of holding or cuddling Leah and says that she thinks Leah is going to be fine, right? And he's like, well, go ahead, ask her. She's right there. So Amber phrases her question in the worst possible way. She says, are you okay that me and Matt aren't together? You promise? Well, shit, how do you want her to respond? And now, since you made her promise, if she ever changed her mind or had feelings about it, she's going to feel like she can't say anything because she promised. Ugh, sad face, Jody. I did not like that. With the kids out of the room, Gary now in his feeding position at the kitchen table, Amber shares that she met Andrew at boot camp and he's smart and he went to college. Well, so did many a serial killer, so take it easy, Amber. Gary is being surprisingly tactful and respectful but firm with Amber and tells her, just take it slow. And what do you want to do with the child support? She says, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I do. I'm good for the money. I'm going to get it to you. But don't make me feel bad because I already cry all the time and I'm depressed. And that's why I don't want to see Leah because I don't want her to see me crying. You guys, she was totally fake crying. She was squeaking those tears out like every one of those female prisoner interviews when the girl's crying because she killed her mom, but she loved her. No, I was not buying it at all. Well, that was it for our not so teen moms, or actually not so much moms this week. I wonder if we get to see Andrew's closet full of striped shirts, or I'm going to put a big prediction out there. He's the type of Costco Tommy Bahama shirts, wearing them all the time, thinking he's, you know, happy-go-lucky Joe. So I guess we'll see. Hopefully soon we'll get to see his Malibu dream studio apartment. Fingers crossed. As always, thanks for joining me today. Later this week, I will be back with a recap of the season premiere of Married at First Sight. Again, that's on Lifetime TV tonight. A new bonus episode is already up on Patreon. I visited a Reiki healer for the first time and got some messages from my angel. Head on over to patreon.com/welcometorealityTV to hear all about it. $5 a month gets you all the previous episodes and all the episodes all month long. In the meantime, you know where to find me and all of the other apples in the orchard over on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Check all those links out in the show notes. I'll talk to you soon. Stay salty.